This podcast is focused on freedom of information and animal research. There is some overlap with the statistics episode, which discusses the importance of animal use statistics and transparency in animal research. So if you have not had a listen to this, then please do so. From HRA's experience, obtaining information about what actually happens to animals in research can be a difficult and frustrating process. This is not a situation unique to Australia. I'm going to discuss some research I conducted on the subject as a component of a master's degree in animal welfare science, ethics and law. This research looked at the effectiveness of freedom of information in anti-vivisection advocacy in Australia, the United Kingdom and the United States via interviews with anti-vivisection organisations in these countries. Firstly, I want to define freedom of information, or FOI. In Australian terms, FOI means the right of the public to access information Australian government ministers and Australian government agencies hold, with some exceptions. This right is protected and enforced in the Freedom of Information Act 1982. I'll call this FOIA. The FOIA recognises that the information government holds is a national resource, and is managed for the public purposes, and that public access to it should be prompt and at the lowest reasonable cost. Each state and territory has a freedom of information law that covers the agencies of that state or territory. Other countries also have their own FOI acts, which operate to the same principles. So why is FOIA necessary to anti-vivisection organisations? Anti-vivisection organisations are one of many which advocate for social change. Advocacy for social change can take many forms. Examples include public outreach and education campaigns, political lobbying, media stunts, protests, petitioning, boycotts or legal actions. However, in order to be able to operate effectively, they need factual information upon which to base their campaigns. Animal research is assessed by cost-benefit analysis, yet the public can only make a judgment on this evaluation if impartial information is freely available. In the context of animal research, many of the practices upon which animal protection campaigners focus take place behind closed doors, and it is not available in the public domain. In theory, FOI should act as a means of obtaining this information. My research sought to investigate how effective FOI requests are as an advocacy tool used by anti-vivisection organisations in achieving social change. If you're wondering why the UK, US and Australia were selected, this is because they are all democratic countries with FOI legislation. For comparative purposes, national legislation regulating animals in research follows a similar framework in all three countries. Legislation from these three nations is often cited as model framework for legislative provisions in other countries. Additionally, a further area of commonality is the high number of animals used in research in the selected countries, which consistently rank in the top 10 users of animals in research globally, as well as featuring prominently in terms of investment and leadership roles in medical research globally. Before embarking on the interviews themselves, I undertook a literature review. I'm just going to draw on a few interesting findings from that literature review. So transparency is essential to ensure the proper regulation of animal research and to bring to attention the unlawful suffering of animals by highlighting breaches of regulations. However, transparency is called for not only by those who are opposed to animal research, there is also support from those who see a genuine need for animal research, but retain concerns about the welfare of the animals used and are supportive of the principles of the three R's. There is also support from other bodies. So, for example, the UK Nuffield Council on Bioethics criticised animal researchers for being secretive. An inquiry by the Australian Senate Select Committee into Animal Experimentation recommended that research institutions be open and forthcoming about their animal use. Likewise, the House of Lords Select Committee on Animals and Scientific Procedures stated that we consider the current levels of secrecy surrounding animal experiments to be excessive and that there should be a presumption in favour of complete openness. So there are calls for transparency from many sides. According to the US-based National Association for Biomedical Research, the most common subject areas for FOI requests in animal research are non-human primates, dogs and cats, neuroscience, eye movement, advanced trauma, and addiction research. These are implied as the areas of greatest concern and or the types of research most likely to garner public attention. Generating public attention on the issue of animal research is vital for anti-vivisection organisations. This is so important as consequential constituent pressure can drive political momentum for change. A An interesting example of a public awareness initiative which encourages the public to submit FOI requests is an adoption campaign coordinated by Beagle Freedom Project. In the US, members of the public can choose one of the dogs or cats housed at a public research university. When an applicant remotely adopts a laboratory animal, Beagle Freedom Project sends the adopter an FOI Act request form, which asks for various pieces of information related to the animal in question. The adopter then submits the form to the university. Any information gathered is forwarded to Beagle Freedom Project, which creates a biography page for that cat or dog on its website. In this way, it puts a face on animal experimentation. There are many examples where FOI requests have resulted in the release of information that may have otherwise been suppressed. Yet, whilst FOI requests may be successful in obtaining information on some cases, on occasion it can result in the subsequent issuing of infringement notices or penalties that may not automatically be a consequential direct benefit for laboratory animals, or it may be rejected entirely or only partially granted, leaving the applicant with the option of accepting the denial or appealing the decision. When no response is received or an appeal has failed, some advocacy organisations in the US have taken to suing the relevant agency for failing to comply with FOI legislation. The main limitation to transparency appears to be conflicting interpretations of the principle of confidentiality. In the case of animal research, this most frequently relates to proprietary and intellectual property. This is because the interests of human safety are particularly pronounced in deliberations over animal research. Direct action, defined as actions such as strikes or civil disobedience employed by organised labour or other groups to obtain demands from an employer, government, etc., may be performed. And in relation to directions, actions against animal research, they may extend to the theft of laboratory animals, intimidation, abuse or damage to property. So in effect, there may be a reluctance to release information disclosing the identity of researchers, primarily due to the perceived threat of direct action, with the potential for acts of violence on the part of animal rights extremists. Such tactics have not been used in Australia, and historically it was more so in the UK and the US. And HRA has confirmed this via an FOI request to the Federal Police. The vast majority of anti-vivisection organisations don't engage in such tactics, and recent legislative actions have curtailed activities that may have been viewed as undue harassment. So the anti-vivisection organisations claim that FOI processes are sufficiently robust to protect individuals from any significant risk. They do not wish individuals to be named per se, the aim being to uncover not the who, but the how and why. It is more of a case of the system being questioned than the identification of individuals being exposed. This is certainly the case with HRA. We don't want to expect names of individuals or engage in any violent action. So now I want to have a look at the theories that influence the approach of the research I undertook. So there are two key theories which relate to the transparency of animal research. Firstly, selective openness, and secondly, the information deficit model. So the selective openness model, what do I mean by this? I'm going to give you a quote. So, the Research Defence Society welcomes the greater openness that FOI will bring to discussions about animal research. With more good quality information about how and why animals are used, people should be in a better position to debate the issues. Similar quotes are traceable across the animal research industry. And since the passing of FOI legislation, efforts have been made to increase the availability of information about animal research, such as publishing plain language project abstracts in the UK. However, on closer scrutiny, such initiatives may be criticised as providing only superficial openness, better described as selective openness. Hudson evaluated the abstracts published between December 2004 and October 2005 and concluded that they were lacking in detail about the welfare of experimental animals, and presented a distorted picture of animal-based research, many abstracts failing to describe how the licensing criteria had been met. The information deficit enlightenment model is proposed by several academics, including McLeod West and Holmberg and Idland. This is an ideology in which the public is portrayed as lacking knowledge, knowledge that science would provide. In short, each party believed that transparency is necessary to the advancement of their own agenda by suppression of alternative viewpoints. So there could be three main parties: animal protection groups. Transparency is needed to counter secrecy. Researchers. Transparency is needed to counter misinformation and misunderstanding. Three, government or funders. Transparency is needed to counter public mistrust in science and politics. However, there is a tendency for the scientific community to dominate as the enlightener, controlling not only what information is relayed, but who should provide that information, i.e., information should be controlled by the research community, not by the media or animal rights and activists. Before I move on to the research interviews, it might be useful to learn a little more about FOI. There are many interests to be balanced and weighed up. FOI legislation needs to balance the public's right to information with the protection of privacy, safety, and intellectual property. Under the Commonwealth FOIA, there are some kinds of classifications of documents that may be exempt from disclosure, including those affecting national security, defence, international relations, cabinet documents, law enforcement, protection of public safety, conditionally exempt documents, where it's conditional upon meeting a public interest test, and there are also restrictions on related to public safety, commercially valuable information, personal information, and information given in confidence. So finally, on to the interviews. I conducted interviews with the below organisations: Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine in the US, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA in the US, an anonymous organisation in the US, Medical Advances Without Animals Trust, MAWA, in Australia, Cruelty Free International, CFI, in the UK, and Humane Research Australia, HRA. I'm going to give you a bit of a synopsis of those interviews and the most crucial points. So all interview candidates voice the long-term goal of ending the use of animals in research, with the shorter-term objectives of raising awareness and promoting alternatives also stated. So they may also have some sub-campaigns with the ultimate goal of ending research, but for a particular type of research. So it could be ending animals in medical training or ending testing on dogs, related to that key long-term objective. And they feel that animal research is morally and scientifically unjustifiable and seek its replacement with non-animal methods. But they really need credible information to support them and to be seen as a trustworthy organisation that others can listen to. So they rely on FOI in many cases to provide that information. If someone comes to us with a claim, we can't publicise this or use that because there is no credibility which can backfire on us. So we have to dig around to get information, and we use that information to launch some questions to a government department to get the data we need. The fact that animal research is publicly funded was also raised by all organisations using FOI. These feeling strongly that the public has a right to know what their money is contributing to and whether that funding is indeed used for the public good. The organisations file requests to government agencies and universities, noting that animal research is not limited to the health and agriculture ministries, and other agencies will also be approached, such as defence. The type of information requested differs according to whom the request is submitted and of what that information is anticipated to comprise. For example, submissions to government departments request statistics, import or export documents, details of violations and enforcement actions, whereas requests to universities or research institutions may focus on research protocols, grant documentation, for example. FOI might find out that the protocols are not questionable, or that animals are not being given pain relief for no justifiable reason, or that the same study is virtually being repeated 10 times over with slightly different iterations, which is essentially just a way for a researcher to keep publishing. In the main, the organisations make narrow requests rather than casting a wide net to make best use of their own resources, obtain concrete information for selective campaigns, and ensure the highest chance of receiving information. However, that's slightly different with the organisations in the US because there were some restrictions on a public database with animal research violations, amongst other information. And so as a result, they tended to submit requests of a more generic nature, so simply to gather intelligence. There was a consensus that the exemptions to FOI legislation pose a significant obstacle. Whilst it is accepted that the exemptions themselves may be legitimate, it is the contentious application that is objectionable. An issue that was raised was the redaction of information, because this can really limit the value that it has. The hardest thing to fight is the proprietary information. That has been extremely difficult because you will see entire paragraphs or pages totally blocked out, and you have no idea what is behind them, so it is hard to argue for the release of that information. In addition to the exemptions, Section 24 of the ASPA, that's the Animals and Scientific Procedures Act in the UK, is highlighted as an additional barrier. So Section 24 prevents a minister from giving information, even to Parliament. It makes it a criminal offence to disclose certain information about animal experiments, and really does seem to appear to operate in conflict with the principles of the Freedom of Information Act. And similarly, PCRM outlined how there are additional barriers to the principles of FOI in the US. Not every state is created equal when it comes to public record law. Some withhold entire classes of documents that we frankly believe they should not be able to. This comment relates to a ruling in Texas that an entire class of documents related to animal research is not subject to the state's public record law. Additionally, an example of a state university being excluded from the release of animal information was cited. So the technicalities of the process, as well as the individuals involved, are also said to have an impact. For example, you send it to the department of such and such when you should have sent it to the department of such and such. Then they can legally respond with, "We were not able to find the information you requested," even if they know it exists down the hall. Interactions with FOI officers were described as variable, from largely positive interactions to frustrations with apparent resistance. There was a large investment in time, finances and staffing required, and long delays. So whilst the FOI request should be responded to within a reasonable time frame, it was remarked that reasonable is absolutely left up to interpretation. It can take you months or years and cost you thousands of dollars in some states. Whilst legal expertise is not a precondition for FOI success, it is certainly an advantage, and having legal expertise in-house is beneficial. It can be an uphill battle, labour-intensive, and legal skills and tenacity are essential. FOI requests have their limitations, and they can only disclose such records that are maintained, and the obligation on the holder of that information is only to make an attempt to find that information. Success rates in obtaining requested information were described as mixed, with no detectable differences between requests to government departments or universities. HRA explained that there are variances between states and territories, and the US organization found that state FOI legislation presented greater challenges than federal legislation. And it's not only the release of information by force of FOI that can aid anti-vivisection organizations in their campaigns. Sometimes merely the possibility that an institution may be compelled to release information that is likely to be unappealing to the public is reason enough for the institution to produce its records or change its practices. If this results in changes in practices, a tangible benefit to animals may ensue. So the organisations are not solely reliant on FOI to gather data. They often make direct requests for information, do web research, review medical journals and government reports. And another investigative tactic is undercover investigations. But of course, there is no possible way to have an undercover investigation or whistleblower in every single facility. So as one of the organisations said, FOI is a primary means of obtaining information about what is going on. Drawing on the nature of case law, both People's Committee for Responsible Medicine and Cruelty-Free International outlined how trends can be positive or negative, depending on the interpretation of the court, and that their organisation has the potential to contribute to such trends by bringing cases forward with as strong a basis as possible. In a lot of ways, the way that FOI laws in the US are changed is by legal interpretation in the court. You have to set precedents in order to expand or contract the interpretation of the laws. That's usually where we've seen the most progress in the last couple of decades, or the opposite of progress, the regression. On a professional basis, the interview candidates had not submitted FOI requests outside animal research, and it is within this area that their expertise lies and their experience. However, they do largely suspect that FOI requests on animal research incur more resistance than other subject areas. While some public information on animal research was acknowledged as helpful, namely the National Institute of Health database, affirmative disclosure was found to be lacking, and some organisations were not aware of the existence of disclosure logs. So affirmative disclosure is really information that is proactively provided or from previous FOI requests is made public to try and reduce reliance on FOI. When asked what changes they would favour being introduced to the FOI system, the below were proposed. 1. More meaningful repercussions for agencies that don't abide by FOI legislation. 2. Waiving the fees for public interest groups. 3. A faster process. 4. A more forthcoming approach. 5. Removal of Section 24 of the ASPA. In short, a reversal in FOI response is sought by advocacy organisations from one of can't do to can do. The automatic response is, we don't want to give this information. How can we find ways to not give this information? It would be really great if this was just flipped on its head and there was a real respect for the fact that people have a right to this information. To conclude, there are calls for greater transparency in animal research by researchers, regulators and anti-vivisection organisations, each believing that the more information is made available, the more likely the public will adopt their position on animal research. In practice, the flow of information is largely dependent on the scientific community and regulators. There may be resistance to the disclosure of information that could threaten safety, confidentiality or proprietary information, or be perceived to be not in the public interest. Anti-vivisection organisations contend that the information released provides an insufficient level of detail to enable informed debate on the subject, and unnecessarily so, since exemptions should only be used where absolutely necessary, rather than to counter legitimate opposition. In effect, this enables a selective openness which simply serves to maintain the status quo. Ultimately, whilst information on animal research remains controlled, anti-vivisection organisations must rely upon the gathering of intelligence to develop sound campaigns. As an advocacy tool, FOI is used to make animal research-related requests in order to both gather data for campaigns and bring infringements to the attention of regulators. Such requests may be obstructed by the allegedly incorrect application of FOI exemptions, the existence of legislation which overrides FOI principles in the sensitive area of animal research, procedural issues such as overcharging of fees, non-responses or delays, or additional measures to prevent transparency imposed by government administrations, as evident from recent removal of public databases in the US. Despite these barriers, anti-vivisection organisations assert that FOI has advanced their objective towards ending the use of animals in research, and many feel successful FOI cases have set precedents that information should no longer be classified. As a result, advocacy organisations have been able to communicate verifiable information, at times discrediting the claims of animal researchers and more accurately presenting the realities of the industry. So my recommendations to anti-vivisection organisations using FOI. Keep informed of local, national and international developments, such as changes to legislation or key case or appeal outcomes. Follow the FOI guidance provided and keep requests clear and succinct, with requests for documentation relating to a particular scope within a defined time frame, rather than framed as a question. Consider whether the information can be obtained outside of the FOI process. Challenge any unjust, excessive fees. Support initiatives such as declarations of openness in animal research and press for them to be implemented in practice. Try and form a respectful relationship with FOI administrators. Raise transparency as an issue of importance within the media. If possible, seek legal expertise if needed for complex or prolonged cases. Unite with other anti-vivisection organisations to combat unwarranted obstruction of their investigative efforts. Establish partnerships with organisations in other sectors also impacted by the limitations of FOI in order to unite in achieving respective goals. Since undertaking this research, I have submitted FOI requests on behalf of HRA, which has demonstrated to me these issues in practice, from unreasonable extensions to me having to guide the FOI officer, where the information should be held. I share the above interviewees' frustrations and their recommendations for change. There is also a need for greater information to be available in the first place so we are not reliant on the FOI process. This is something the public is calling for, and with the Senate motion passed for increased transparency in animal research, this is something HRA will be working on once Parliament resumes. In the meantime, we have a Take Action on our website on transparency, and you can always feel free to ask us any questions you have about animal research. If we don't know, we'll keep asking the questions. Thank you very much for listening.